It might help if you have your Bibles open in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Psalm 90 reads, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And we sung that wonderful song for the children, the creation song by Ishmael, which is pretty good. And what the psalmist is saying here, that God dwells in eternity. He doesn't dwell in time. He's an eternal God. And for us, we dwell in time. And what we make of that at different spheres of our different experiences in our life can be quite strange, because sometimes in life, you feel like time's dragging, isn't it? You know, you're probably maybe doing a job you don't want to do, and it's a drudgery, and it's dreary, and time seems to just drag. And other times, time seems to fly by when you're enjoying yourself, and at the end of it, it just all comes too quickly. And we think, oh, where's all the time gone? Well, the fact is, of course, that time is pretty constant. It's just us and our experience of time that is a factor that makes things change. And there's sometimes there are experiences in life which show you that your own time is passing. I can remember when I was in the Navy and towards the end of my career, one of my responsibilities was looking after some of the younger lads on the squadron, particularly those who were in the radio trade like I was. And one of the things I had to do was to read their service documents. And I had to sort of comment on them with an officer to write them up, seeing what the lads were doing and whether they were good or whether they needed any more help or encouragement. But I was reading his documents once, and then I suddenly looked and I thought, goodness me, this lad was born after I joined the Navy. And I'm thinking, time is passing by. It certainly is. And as time passes by, we need to think about eternity. God has set eternity in the human heart. We are bound by time. But in Ecclesiastes, the writer there says, God has also set eternity in the human heart. And there's something within each one of us that realizes that there is something different out there. And that's why we have so many religious groups or faiths in the world. Because people need something, someone, some object to worship, because there's a sense of otherness that God's placed within us. It's not an accident that the whole world, the whole of the human race, has a concept that there's something after death. And therefore we live in this sphere between our birth and our death, however long that will be. And we're all going to get older. And looking around here, quite a few of us have got there. I'm not picking out anyone in particular. And life is going to come and change. And the older we get, the more we realize that life is coming to an end. And as Paul was writing to these Corinthian Christians, he was wanting them to get to see this. Their life was hard. The Corinthian church, Paul wrote two letters. We think there's a third letter that has been lost somewhere down the line. But he's written to this church, it had problems. Well, don't all churches have problems? I'm looking at most of them here, aren't I? I'll look at myself as well first, because I'm not exempt from being a problem in the church. All churches have problems. And problems can make us lose our focus on what we should be about. We can lose our sense of purpose, our sense of direction. And if it's persecution, which was happening with this church, Paul says right at the beginning, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Paul, before this, had been talking about all his issues. And if you know something about the Apostle Paul's life, it's not one to envy. Well, there's some parts of it, seeing the glory of the Lord. But then when you read all that he went through, shipwrecked, stoned to death, persecuted, ridiculed, imprisoned, disbelieved, rejected by his own people. Well, that's going to make anybody give up, isn't it? But not Paul. We do not lose heart. And the reason we do not lose heart is because of our future and where our future takes us. And in fact, at the end of this passage, near the end of this chapter, he speaks again in verse 16. And it's really just verses 16 to 18 that I want us just to think briefly about this morning. He says, "And because of all that's gone on, we do not lose heart." He's talked about his persecutions and all the things he's been through. And he says, we, not you, but we, me included, do not lose heart. And that is what he's wanting these people to get through. And the reason we are not to lose heart is in because of verse 14. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. So the whole Christian church, at some stage in the future, is going to be raised up together and presented to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our destiny. And that's why it's so important that we focus sometimes on these things. Because it's so easy to lose heart, isn't it? You know, we'd love to have a church that stretches right to the back. We'd like to have 30 youngsters up there now and another 20 down there. Wouldn't we? Would you? I would. Chris wishes we had more musicians, I can tell you. But we're in our situation, and we have to live within our situation. And our hope and our future is based not upon our present circumstances, not upon the things that concern us in the here and now, but upon what God has already planned for us. And therefore, at the end of this passage, Paul gives three like couplets of thoughts to try and encourage the sort of complementary opposites in a sense. And in verse 16 he says, outwardly we are wasting away. Well, we've spoke about that. True, Hilda knows all about that. But inwardly, and I'm sure you know all about this, we are being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord, she says, yeah. And that should be our experience. It doesn't happen sometimes, does it? You sometimes have off days when nothing seems to go right and you wonder where God is. Well, God hasn't moved. It's us that's moved. That's right. I was trying to think there's a phrase or a slogan somewhere. If you feel away from God, guess who moved? It's not God, because God dwells within us by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't want them to lose heart because of the problems, because of our weak mortal bodies, these jars of clay, as he spoke about earlier. They have a tendency to waste away. And we will die. That's inevitable. And sadly, for many people, there's a futile attempt to keep the body going, perhaps longer than is good. And we can buy various vitamins, lotions and potions that forever been advertised on the television, on the radio, to try and keep us going a little bit longer. And they may help. I'm taking my tablets every morning and evening, and I expect several of you too are. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we're never going to live forever. And therefore, outwardly, we are wasting. But inwardly, we should be being renewed in our spirit. The spiritual man, the spiritual part of us, is the more important part. Our bodies are not unimportant, of course. And we're told very clearly that we're not to abuse our bodies, as sadly we hear so many do in our society, with drink and drugs and various other things. We are to look after our bodies, but recognise that they're going to die, they're going to fade away, and we're going to go. But our bodies are going to be raised up at the last day. And there was a philosophy around in Paul's time that bodies were unimportant. They're not very good. The body was seen as being evil and the spirit good. Therefore, they had no time for the body. But that is contrary to the Christian teaching that we see through the New Testament. Our bodies are important. God created us. And he created us, man, with a body. And God will recreate our bodies and raise us up on the last day. And we will have a physical body. It'll be a changed body. It will be a glorified body. But it will be a body all the same, like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall be like him and see him as he is. But the problems we face are only for a moment, in contrast to eternity. So we should put things into that perspective. But it's not easy when we face traumatic events in our lives sometimes. But Paul would encourage us to keep looking upwards. And in verse 18, if we move on, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Now, what do you make of that? We fix our eyes not on what we see, but on the things that are unseen. If they're unseen, how can we fix our eyes on them? That's a very, very interesting thought. But it's a difficult thought, but we need to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it is because we can't see the future as we would want it, that some Christians do lose heart and, you know, just drift away from their faith because things get too much. You know, if things go wrong in my life, well, why isn't God going to do something about it? But the things that are unseen are the spiritual things. And Paul says that these are the things that we see, not with our physical eyes, but in a sense with our spiritual eyes. They are the unseen things. The things of this life, the things that we see, they're all going to fade away as well. And in Hebrews 12, at the end, Paul, in 12:1, Paul writes, or the writer to the Hebrews there, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and he's talking there about all the Old Testament saints that is listed in chapter 11 of that chapter, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. We need to have this different perspective than that of the world around us. The world apparently only lives for the things that are physical, the things we can see, but we have to look beyond that to the there and then of the future when the Lord returns. We've been looking at that, those who have been along on the Thursday night studies recently, looking into eternity as best as we can and grasping some of the truths that the Bible teaches about the end times. So we need to do that. And Paul was always looking to the future in the sense that he expected the Lord to return. Do you expect the Lord to return? Is that a hope that you have? Something that you look forward to? I hope so. There's lots of nods, which is very encouraging. We need to do that more and more. As we've been thinking of in our prayers, our country is in a, and the whole world is in an appalling mess. And one wonders how long this world can stagger on by itself like this, without a direct intervention of God. But we have to set our minds on things that are above. And Paul writes in Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ, and that's our position spiritually as Christians, that we are raised, and in one sense, we are already seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. That's our position spiritually. Physically, we're still here. But from God's perspective, he can see us as already being in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul can write these things, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So is that our attitude to life? To think about eternal things. Think about things that are beyond this life. And at the end of verse 18, Paul then clearly states why we should be doing this, and it's not very hard. For what is seen is temporary. It ain't going to last. What is unseen is eternal. And that will last. And this brings it all into perspective. And Jesus himself said that the heaven and the earth would pass away, but that his word would abide forever, beyond this existence of the universe as we know it. And because the Lord has delayed his return, it can be easy to lose sight of the reality of the promise, and many Christians in our day and age have actually lost that and are not looking for that at all. And it's very, very sad that because it hasn't happened quickly, it's been 2,000 years nearly since Christ died, then is it going to happen? Is there a future? But Paul's writing to encourage these Christians, saying, it is. This world is only temporary. This universe is only temporary. All that we were singing about with the children's song earlier, all that's going to be taken away and dissolved, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth after this world has been dissolved. And that's the hope that Paul wants these Christians to know and to understand and to live for. He is the one who has planned all these things. And if you read the next chapter over lunch, then you'll find out a bit more about it. But we're not going to read it now. Paul was quite clear that this present age is only transient, but the age to come is eternal. Our present sufferings here are only temporary, but the reward is eternal. Our after frame is going to be destroyed, but for us there is an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs all of the problems that we have in this world, and we need to be looking for that hope. But do we have that hope? Do you have that hope? Good, many of you are saying that. Our only hope of achieving any of this, though, is only as we personally put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can experience the things that Paul is talking about here other than that personal faith in God. And if we neglect this salvation that God has offered to us, the things we've been singing about, then we can only face God not with the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour next to us, but we face God as our judge and the one who will condemn us to an eternity outside of his existence if we don't know him. That's something people don't like to hear, but it is all part of the gospel message. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and commit our life to him, repent of our sins and turn and trust him, that's the promise that he gives us. If we reject that, there is only a fear of condemnation in the future. And we need to do that, to be in that spiritual realm where God is. So praise the Lord for his goodness to us and for all that he's provided for us. And let's live in the light and in the goodness of God's word and God's truth in our personal lives, in the world in which we live. Amen.